720 WGN. Dave Neal and Hannah Stanley in for Steve Cochran on what would be considered all around the world, well, depending on your time zone. It is New Year's Eve, so welcome in.
I'm calling this New Year's Eve.
Any special reason? And
because
is it
I
just
won't be
you?
Awake at New Year's.
So this is it. Hey, you know what? But
I might make it to noon. So if we'll call it noon years, I can celebrate with all of the frivolity and excitement.
The world has become a smaller and smaller place. And I think, yeah, depending on your time zone, your work schedule. So we'll celebrate with the people in, I don't know, Uganda?
Australia?
Someplace. Yeah,
yeah.
Someplace
Sydney.
In the future.
We were just hearing about the Harbor Festival that they have every year. It's
probably
fantastic.
Nice.
I mean, the one time that I got to really experience New Year's around the world was, I think, when everybody did, which was, you know, the Y2K, right? We watched, like, is Australia's their grid going to go down? And we all sat there watching.
You were watching the television from your bunker?
I watched the television for three straight days because I think there's like 30 hours or something based on the time changes.
Neat to see.
And it's like, okay. And then you get to really boring time zones like, oh, it's New Year's in the middle of the Atlantic. Woohoo.
So, somehow they managed some decent fireworks.
They did. We dispatched some boats. It was nice. We will be covering year in review from a whole bunch of different perspectives. We are going to be joined by the Red Eye News editor, Lisa Donovan. You've got Wayne Larrabee coming on with us in a little while. Courtney Crowder from the Chicago Tribune will be coming on to talk 2014 television.
Yep. Yep. Before the end of the program, as people kind of gear up and prepare, some have probably started already, but we'll have Mark Oldman in. He's the main guy for Food and Wine. He is an author, a Food Network wine expert, going to give us some things to get on our way to our party.
Yes, because it is appropriate to talk wine prior to
noon. And champagne.
Yes.
Celebratory
beverages. How do we not have any in studio? I'm shocked by that.
I am too. Let's fix that.
We'll fix that.
Dave Neal, Hannah Stanley in for the Steve Cochran Show today on New Year's Eve, 720 WGN.
I know everybody's been waiting, calling neighbors, texting their friends to make sure that everybody was aware of the fact that we are going to have an etiquette segment coming up.
People need guidance. See, everybody thinks that everybody figures it all out themselves. You got news, social media, but people look for that guiding hand.
And we are going to find that in Steve Alexander and, of course, with your your comments. 312-981-7200 is the text or phone line. In the meantime, though, we're gonna talk about that stuff after the news.
Sure, but then people need the essentials. They need to know what's going on in the world.
Of course they do. And that is why we go to Steve Alexander today, sponsored by the First Merit Bank. It's our first look at business.
Oh, good. I'll tell you that Big O is still on vacation. He's in sunny, I think it's sunny, I don't know, Arizona. Actually, he's not. He's in Pasadena right now because Big O, for the last several years, has been the it's not the announcer. He does the Rose Parade.
Nice.
Don't tell me he
is riding on a fiery steed in the parade itself with a cowboy hat.
I think that's how he gets there.
Oh, gotcha.
But he sits in the booth in front of a camera with a partner, and they commentate, I guess.
They anchor the Rose Parade?
Yeah, I guess that's the... I was looking for the right...
You know what? Nobody better to do that.
Well, the Rose Parade is really great because it has that whole agricultural, you know, into it. Everything, all the floats are made. It isn't an inflatable underdog, right, floating overhead.
If Orion
it's
could
made
design
of plants.
A parade, that would be what he would have designed. So this is perfect for him. Yeah. How cool.
A few more cows, probably.
That is true. But, in days past.
But that'll be on, if you want to watch it on, if you have RFD TV, that's where it airs, and you can see Big O and
how
hear Big
fun.
O. Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about what's going on in the markets. Very quiet day this week, and last week too, for that matter, in terms of the volume of trade, because a lot of desks are empty on Wall Street. A lot of people just aren't there. And yesterday, volume was, light trading volume, if I can find my numbers, were considerably lower than what they should have been or would have been on a normal day. Composite volume was right around 2 billion shares traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Normally, the average is about 3.3 billion. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, or the NASDAQ all dropped yesterday, one of the rare trifectas there that we've seen over the last several weeks. The Dow was down 55 points, a third of a percent, and starts out today at 17,983. Some of the worry was about, traders need something to worry about, so they decided to worry about what's going on in Greece and the ongoing and revived problems there with the politics and the economy and all that. And also, we've got crude oil still dropping. It's down right now. It's down, find my screen refreshing here, 92 cents a barrel. That's 1.7% right now at $53.17. At the Chicago Board of Trade, we've got wheat trading down about a penny and a half. Soybeans are down 3 at 10.41 a bushel, and corn is at 4.05 and 3 quarters a bushel. That's down about 3 quarters of a cent. Gold, which over the last few days has been a place where people have been putting their money, taking out of equities, is down about $2 right now at $11.98. And platinum is down about $3.80 an ounce at $12.14 an ounce. One of the kings of reality TV has died, and I mention this because he was a Chicago guy. Started out here at Channel 7, Howard Schultz. Described as a prolific unscripted TV producer, died at the age of 61 on a vacation in Hawaii. He's the guy who started out with, if you remember back in the early 90s, a show called Real People.
Skip Parkinson or whatever his name was.
Which was a forerunner of the docu-reality shows that we've seen many of those. And then he went on to things like Studs. Extreme Makeover and Dating Naked, one of his more recent ones on VH1. And MTV's Are You the One? So that reality series, or that reality genre, Howard Schultz was a big, big influence and passed away early. 61.
So on vacation, Steve, do you have any details as far as was he ziplining or doing anything that he
No idea. But at 61 you expect it's maybe a heart thing or something like that. Who knows? But our condolences to the people around here who remember Howard Schultz. The nation's largest police department, that would be New York City, is sending its officers to Twitter school. Because they want to soften the NYPD image and engage with the people they serve. And so every precinct and some special commands and even the chief of police, the commissioner, have their own Twitter accounts. and they're encouraged to send out helpful, pithy messages and respond directly to the communities they serve. Does that sound like a recipe for disaster?
I'm not thinking this is a good idea.
I don't know how... Maybe they're going to have designated helpful, pithy commentators because, and we mentioned it yesterday, and we'll have someone on, if it isn't necessarily him, but one of our cousins is a lifelong career New York City police officer, and they are on, so maybe the comments will be scripted and pithy, but they're on kind of a quarantine on whether they can talk with the media, whether it's in New York and other places, because you can imagine almost anything nowadays gets everywhere, and it can be taken a lot of times in the wrong way, and things are volatile there.
Yeah, no, I don't. 35,000 strong is the New York City Police Department, and I think that just is a recipe for whoops. I mean, somebody's going to think something's funny.
One man's clever is another man's offensive.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And I don't necessarily know. We see a lot of people who... Wayne Mesmer got himself into a little bit of trouble the other day by posting something he found
in the gray area?
I think
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Well, it was related to the movie, and that's been explained. So,
probably not a good idea. We'll see. Over the last couple of years, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel / condominium building has gone up kind of south of the Viagra Triangle there on Rush Street.
And they finally put up the street sign, huh?
And a full floor, 37th floor condominium was just purchased by the richest man in Chicago. His name is Ken Griffin. Guess what that full floor, 37th floor condo is worth?
$17.8 million.
13.3.
Oh.
Yeah, but still.
I overvalue real estate all the time.
They probably take 17, though, Hannah. Get in on that.
Yeah, get in. Yeah, Griffin, who's going through a nasty divorce right now, just paid 13.3 for that.
All right, wasn't he the same guy that just bought the condo at the Trump?
It's one of a few condos that he has.
Okay, then.
Oh, no. You're thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another rich guy in Chicago. Yeah.
The other one.
Who's still happily married.
Okay,
yes.
Good. But for those who are looking for somebody on the rebound,
36 plus.
There is
Ken
the Waldorf
Griffin.
Astoria. You're going to want to stop by there in a few weeks. All righty.
That's a quick look at your money on 720 WGN.
All right. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in today for Steve Cochran. We've got so much coming up, including Etiquette with Steve.
Oh, boy.
Our new favorite segment. Sorry, you've been bumped. Speculating with Andy is done.
Yeah, all good things must come to an end.
No, Steve's the lead-in.
All right. We'll be back after this. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in today for Steve Cochran today and tomorrow, actually. It's our New Year's Eve broadcast.
New Year's Eve happening here in 720 WGN. And you want to get into 2015. You want to do it on the right foot. You want to you want to do what you need to do to take care of yourself, your teeth.
Sure.
You know, whatever's going on. Also, you don't want to offend other people. And I think that etiquette is one of those things that everybody could use a little bit of pointers. You know why? Because it's a moving target, Hannah. It's always changing.
You think that there's...
Before dental floss, people weren't worried about this.
Yeah, there...
Before teeth, people were not worried about it.
Okay. Steve Alexander shared with us at the end of Mike Stevens' show, I don't know, about an hour ago. It's all blending together. Steve, you saw in the very pristine,
yes,
elegant,
yes,
church-like
Hallowed halls.
Yes, yes. Colonel McCormick himself walked through these halls.
Mm-hmm. Flossing.
And you saw someone floss. My grandfather's name is on a plaque in the lobby, and a woman was flossing her teeth out right there.
Yeah, yesterday around 12 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was post lunch.
Could have been. Yeah. Still, floss your teeth in public?
No.
I think there's certain things you get out of the way before you leave the house. I think flossing is one of those. But then again, there's some people that they just always have that stuff with them.
They have no shame.
Well, how about going into the restroom or some other private area?
Well, you did mention that because our lobby is open to the public.
Yeah.
Once you get past security, then that's an employee only kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Did she seem to be an employee?
No. Okay. I would guess that she was.
So
a
she
visitor.
Didn't have access to our fine facilities.
Well, but if you go into Argo, there's a public restroom there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then she should have gone into there.
That's a good point, Steve.
Because I have seen people doing this even in their car. You know, like at stoplights and stuff where they're flossing. Mm. And I still think, oh, good for them for really putting their oral hygiene, onto a platform where it's important enough to take care of it. However, I don't need to see that.
Well, and it is about what you see, too, because, you know, like Steve, you're watching. Was it when she did the floss and the floss was moving back and forth? Was there kind of like a laundry clothesline of food and debris that was there, which I think.
No, I didn't stop and stare. I just noted as I walked by. Really?
Well, describe the woman to me.
Oh, she, you know, she's a nice looking woman, nicely dressed and, you know.
Professional?
Maybe.
Business casual?
Business casual. Yeah.
She wasn't working for maybe a flossing maybe company. She didn't have a T-shirt that said, let's floss.
She was waiting there for an appointment, a job interview here. Maybe that was what it was.
And she was worried she had some sort of a...
She wanted to make sure that everything was out of the... You know?
But again, you're absolutely right. The Argo has the public restroom right there. That is something that I've seen people, you know, I go into the restroom at work and somebody's flossing and I think, wow, good for you. Because I just don't do that nearly enough. That's something that I've been reprimanded about.
Yeah. I have another etiquette question for you.
Uh-huh.
So I was watching a guy being interviewed on TV about a week or so ago and he had a boulder in the canyon there. You know? And
a bat in the cave, if you will.
Yeah. Should somebody not have told him?
I mean, someone should have told him.
Yeah, I don't know. That is a really great thing, because, you know, and 312-981-7200, things that you do that other people have said maybe don't do that, and then things maybe you should do that I'm kind of apprehensive. You know, someone's talking to me, they've got a big piece of lettuce in their teeth. If I know them, I'll be like, hey, you got some lettuce in your teeth. But if I don't, you know, I just feel I can just move on.
No. Be a good human. Participate.
Oh, I think I'm a...
Make it a brotherhood. This has got to be... I mean, no. Help somebody out. You've got to say, hey, just so you know, you got a little thing.
If it's someone that I know, but if it's just someone on the street, like, let's say, Steve, you see someone, you know, sitting in the...
lobby.
You know, you don't have to be like the food and the teeth police. I don't have to go up and say, like, hey... you know, you've got some lettuce stuck in there. I don't necessarily, or let's check out the, let's check the nostrils out. Are we clear today?
If you're walking down the street and somebody asks you for directions and you realize that they have, you know, lettuce in their teeth or their fly is open or something, I'll go, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're stopping people on the street. Excuse me, sir, your fly.
But if I'm engaged in conversation, I will for women, for sure. Like if the back of their dress is caught in their pantyhose, yeah, okay. I grab them and be like, BT dubs, you got a little situation happening.
Yeah, no, I get
happening.
That. That's...
But men, I mean, if I see somebody and there's something awkward and I have the ability, right, I don't want to be like, time out, buddy, across the street, I'm flagging you.
That's why you've got the bullhorn.
No, but absolutely, because if I reverse the situation and I had something awkward, a boulder in the canyon or something along those lines, I would definitely want somebody to tell me, like, hey, you're exposed in some manner that's... you would be embarrassed about.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess.
And if somebody told me, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I'd be appreciative that they told me.
Yeah. No, that's true. I just don't know how out of the way I would go to do it. You know, because you're referencing running into strangers on the street and mentioning it. But I get the whole sisterhood thing of, hey, your dress is, you know, caught in your underwear or something like that. You know, right? Or your stockings are like down or whatever it is. That, and you want to share that. I just don't know I'm just not that guy. You know, if it's somebody that I know for sure.
Hey, George, you're on the line. Thanks for calling WGN.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. You know, I am a firm believer in Charles Darwin's theory of natural selection. And you know what? I would not tell anybody, especially if you see them and you're competing for a job interview. Then you know what? Let's let them take each other out. Like, I would not say anything. That's for sure.
George, would you go so far as to hand them a salad beforehand saying, hey, hungry? Why don't you have this before the interview?
Listen, if you make it a habit of finishing an entire thing of spinach before a job interview, that's your prerogative, you know. But I would not tell. I mean, unless they were in my immediate family. But if I see someone in public, even if I know them, I learned something very long ago, especially in the workplace. As long as somebody else is messing up worse than you, you're fine.
It's the slowest antelope theory. All right, George, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. Have a happy new year.
If you want to add your thoughts, would you do it? Would you tell people? I mean, a perfect stranger. It's not necessarily someone that's a friend of yours and you have to sit with them all day with this. I mean, you would definitely tell them. But 312-981-7200, what would you do? Baby, I'm playing on you
tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in today and tomorrow for Steve Cochran. It is our official New Year's Eve party show, which is exciting. And because it is never a party unless Miss Patty Vasquez is a part of it.
I feel like I was just there.
It feels like you just left. It's so...
I know, and it feels like I just saw you yesterday. You're there all the time, too.
That's how we roll. We're trying to... We got to keep the airwaves going. We don't get vacation, Patty.
Stay busy. Keep moving. They can't hold you down.
That's right. Speaking of staying busy, what do you have coming up?
Thank you so much for letting me come on, because I totally... Like, it was 2 a.m., and I thought, oh, my gosh, totally forgot to tell people we have tickets left for our 3 p.m. show. We're doing a 3 p.m. New Year's Eve show, and I know that sounds crazy, but that's how we're doing it, because it's going to be midnight somewhere in the world, right?
I'm not going to call it the early bird, but there might be a buffet.
It is the matinee show, but it is the one that is available, a testament to the popularity of what you guys are doing, because the later show is sold out. So it's great for people wanting to do it early, and it's the one that's available.
It is. It's the 7 o'clock is sold out. We're going to celebrate New Year's in Paris at 5 p.m.
So everyone has to sing Auld Lang Syne in French. I hope that's okay with everyone.
That's good. We've been practicing. I've had the kids doing Rosetta Stone. It's going to be fantastic. What we are referring to, of course, is the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve show. You guys do it every year. Patty, you've been a part of it for quite a long time. What else can people expect? Is this something they can bring, especially with the matinee, yeah, the 3 p.m.? Can we bring kids?
Yes, and we're squeaky clean. We're all WGN friendly. It's Pat Tomasulo from WGN Morning News, Annabella Val, WGN Morning News, Steve Cochran, you know him.
I heard of him, yeah.
Yes, and and myself and John DeCoste are all going to be on the show. So it's, well, how many is that? Do the math for me because I'm tired. Five comics.
Five, and we have musical guests. We had the Apuli brothers, Tim Cota and Paolo Apuli, who were in studio with us yesterday. They're playing producer Rachel, who is outstanding and has, yes, been singing on the commercials. She's going to be performing as well.
Yes, it's a fun, jam-packed show, so we're very excited. You can go to CochranComedy.com for tickets and the Rouse Center website for it. It's in Crystal Lake. You know, the weather, is it going to be, do you know if the weather's okay? We're not going to have bad weather, right?
No, I don't think so. Not around Crystal Lake. Yeah. Everywhere else, maybe, but no, it's going to be very clear.
It'll be like a barometric, like oasis there, but it's a good time because Crystal Lake, it's a great place. Lots of people living around there, but the 3 o'clock is a good time to get out there.
Plus, there's great restaurants right on that little, there's a really cute downtown area that's adorable, and there's great restaurants, so come see us. And let me do one more thing, too. I don't know, have you ever been to the American Blues Theater?
Let's say no.
So, you know, you have to go. It's one of the best theaters we have in Chicago, but it's kind of off the beaten path. It's not like down by, you know, all the theater district, and they do some great productions. They did a show called Grounded over the summer, and it was about a female pilot. And one of the things they did was they coordinated and they raised money to help children who have been injured in Afghanistan and Iraq as a result of drone attacks. But they also reach out to Chicago communities, and they have a merry match that is expiring the deadline tonight. They have an anonymous donor that will match up to $20,000, and they're doing programs with CPS and in the communities, and we're trying to get them over the finish line. So AmericanBluesTheater.com to help them raise the last $2,500.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. We will put that up on our Facebook page as well. I will do that during the break, but I also wanted to mention 4 tickets to this afternoon's performance, the 3 o'clock New Year's Eve show. We're calling this our noon Year's Eve show, Patty, so use that as your own. But we have that at the Flavor HD Facebook page as well. It is Rouse Center, which I think is RAUECenter.org.
Yes.
Okay.
That all sounds correct.
Tickets are still available.
Yes, like very affirmative. Yes.
Yes, do. Hey, so we were just talking. Steve Alexander yesterday witnessed firsthand a woman, business casual dressed woman, flossing her teeth in the lobby of Trib Tower. Your thoughts?
Yes. Here's my thoughts. There was somebody more important that she wanted her teeth to look good for and did not care about the people in the lobby.
That was one of the theories.
What about the sanctity of the lobby?
I know. I'm not saying it's okay. It's horrible. It's not horrible, but it's. I'm sorry. I just got a little sick. Then you have food flying from someone's mouth from between their teeth, and who knows how long it's been there.
It's cold and flu season. There are germs. We have things that we shouldn't have to be exposed to from other people's mouths.
But Patty, we've had texters text in to say that they absolutely love flossing, and certainly we all know that it's an important part of oral hygiene, but they said they'll floss anytime, anywhere. So there's a group out there that's really dedicated to it.
Do you ever stand in front of the bathroom mirror and just, like, do you see it swinging? Everyone should do. Stand in front of the mirror and see how much hits the glass.
Yes.
That's why you shouldn't do it in public.
I completely am with you. Patty, we're going to let you go and get back into our etiquette conversation before we have to hit the break. But thank you so much. Again, tell me what is the American Blues Theater?
Yes, AmericanBluesTheater.com, and they've, you know, to midnight, it's a tax write-off, right? This is the last day of 2014. You can save some money on the back end by donating money today and make a big difference for the community.
And you mentioned a merry match, so if they can get over that $20,000, an anonymous donor will match that, correct?
Yeah, dollar for dollar, they'll have raised $40,000 altogether.
Fantastic!
Right?
That is, I love stuff like this. This is, people are trying to find organizations to put their money towards because it is the last day of the year, and so this is great, especially when you can double the value for that organization. And again, the 3 o'clock show today still has some tickets available. They might not for long, so go either to our Facebook page, which is Flavor HD. You can go to CochraneComedy.com, or you can go to RouseCenter.org or call, and Jasmine will give you all the information. But get those tickets. I'm coming out to the 3 o'clock show. So
yay!
I get to
see
you.
Well, then I say Happy New Year to you there, but saying Happy New Year, Jasmine and Esmeralda, everybody who's there, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
everybody,
Patty.
Everybody.
All right. Thanks so much, Patty, for your call.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So getting back to the etiquette, you mentioned that we have some texts coming in, 312-981-7200. 773 says, it's a privilege that we have access to dental care and floss. I carry floss with me in my backpack at all times. I will floss anywhere at any time. We have another 773 said that, although I will seek out a bathroom or private place first. Yes, do that. That is important. 312 texts in, nose picking at stoplights. Absolutely amazing. How many people do it in their cars while waiting for a light to change? I've seen people doing it on the highway. They don't care.
312-981-7200. What is acceptable? And then what is also, I guess, you know, pleasant for the people around you? The nose picking thing is something that you do see an awful lot. I have to look away. You know, if you're like looking around and you
look away. Here's
the thing, because, you know, they're in there, they're digging around. And the last thing that I can see, I can't unsee whatever comes out. So I just feel like I don't want to see that.
Here's the one, too. And I referenced this at the end of Mike's show. The nail clipping at the office, nail clipping in general, but nail clipping at the office. I had a boss who I sat, like, his office was right there. All I could hear is click, click.
Toenails or fingernails?
I would assume fingernails. I didn't look. But it was every day. I don't know what kind of vitamins he took. And it was so, like, it was slightly annoying, and it was borderline, like, I don't know if he was, had it over the, you know, the garbage can or what, but it was just.
That is an excellent point. And that's where we're going with this is. The nail clipping doesn't necessarily bother me. It's when I think of, well, what are they doing with it? Is it just getting scooped onto the floor? Is it just going to lay there? Is it going in the trash can? And the same with the nose picking. Where does it go?
Margaret, you're on WGN. Tell me your opinion on floss.
I think it's horrendous. I think it's horrendous in public. I think it should only be done in private. There's certain things like nail clipping is another thing. Those are personal hygiene habits that belong at home.
Well, how do you talk to someone about that, or do you not, or you just decide I'm going to take care of my own thing? I don't like that. The people around me, I'll ask them not to do that. But for a stranger, Hannah had mentioned that if she sees someone with an open fly, she's going to definitely let them know, or a bat in the cave, or a boulder in the canyon. But if someone is doing that, do you go up and do you tell them, hey, I don't like this, or you just say yuck and leave them alone?
You stare them down. You stare them down. You literally stare them down, and then you walk away.
All right, so you would not say anything? You would just assume that they would know based on the glare?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever said, dude, that's gross?
No, I've wanted to. I've come so close in the office.
All right.
In the office, which is open, very open.
I challenge you, Margaret. 2015 resolution is you don't just sit on that. You make yourself known.
Well, pick your spots, though, because there's a concealed carry law. You never
I know. But it just bugs the heck out of me.
I'm
as
with
soon
you.
As those clippers start, I jump out of my seat and I go stare them down from afar.
I'm in a reverse fetal.
I don't go in their face.
I'm a reverse fetal position. I'm just like, oh, it's horrible. All right, Margaret. Margaret, thank you so much for your call. Happy New Year.
720 WGN. It is Dane Neal along with Hannah Stanley here for the Steve Cochran Show on New Year's Eve. Hannah's calling it Noon Year's Eve.
Noon Year's Eve. I'll be up then. Why should I miss out?
You know what was cool? As a parent of small kids who like to stay up late, even when I don't, and Hannah, I know your kids, you know, they're very active and in tune with a lot of different things, probably excited about the New Year's, is they've got a thing that I saw. I don't know if it's on Nickelodeon, it's on one of the channels. I saw it, and it is Netflix has got it, where you can have a programmable New Year's Eve countdown, so you don't have the kids wanting to stay up and say, like, I've got to see the countdown. You can make it happen anytime.
Fake it till you make it.
There you go. And then it does a countdown. They feel like it. Hey, you saw it. Go to bed.
That's right. That's why we're going to take them out to Rouse Center today. Get to see all of our WGN friends and family out there performing. And then we can come home. They'll be exhausted from the tremendous amount of comedy and entertainment. And then they go to bed.
One thing I love about that show, the 3 o'clock show and the 7 o'clock show, it's going to be sold out, at least the 7 o'clock one. You can still get tickets for the three. But the level of etiquette is always very high at those shows. So if you want to see examples to live by for 2015 and beyond, definitely do it. But this is been a segment where people have called in, have texted, and you can do the same at 312-981-7200. What is acceptable on the hygiene side typically to do in public? People say no flossing, but then a couple people with, like, sticking your finger in your ear.
Ew.
Now, is it okay? Let's say you got an itchy ear. Let's just say.
Well, that's a little bit different than, like,
with the Q-tip.
Yeah. All right. We've got a couple of more texts that are here, and then we'll... It's just crazy stuff. I was at the gym. This is from 815. And there was a woman in the locker room scraping her feet. It looked like a pile of sawdust under her. When she asked me if I would like to walk through, I declined.
Walk through the scrapings?
I mean, this is just... It's like a public health concern.
Is it acceptable? She's in the locker room. Okay, this is a place almost, you know, bathroom esque, right? It's a place where things would happen. Is it acceptable to use a tool like one of those kind of pumice stones?
Like a microplane grater?
Something like that. Or is it acceptable to use your scratchy fingernails to go ahead and do that? What's going on?
And I can speak for this because I have incredibly dry feet. No, none of this is acceptable. This is just you. That is something you do hunched over the bathtub at your own home.
I haven't spent a lot of time in a girl's locker room, but my thought is that if you're using an official implement like your planer or the pumice stone, it's slightly more acceptable than just itching your diseased foot.
Ugh, gosh. All right. 847 texts in. My daughter had a math teacher who clipped his her toenails in class. As a teacher myself, this is more than disgusting. As a former student myself, that is disgusting. What if they're taking a test and all you hear is that's not cool.
A lot of times with the callers and texts, you know, we get great information and some really cool tops. We don't get the full context. So let's say they're in Hawaii. He's always wearing sandals. You know, his feet are moisturized. And now, if it's in the middle of winter in Berwyn somewhere and he's pulling off a sweaty sock to do it, then I think it was slightly different, right?
No, I mean, there's just different things. Like if you apply hand lotion at your desk, that's a little bit different than...
What about foot lotion? You said you have dry feet, Hannah. I'm sure you're applying stuff on a regular basis.
If everybody's out to lunch and
summertime and you got sandals.
That's different. Then you just kind of, you reach down, you slather the heel, you move on. That's fine.
So in the winter... So it's a seasonal thing.
If there's a sock and dry skin and, I mean, no, there's just, there are rules, people, and this is one of the things we don't want to be exposing. If there are things that are leaving your body, okay, let's parameter this here. If there is something that's coming out of your teeth or off of your skin, applying lotion doesn't bother me because you're not polluting.
You're adding things.
Yes.
You're not.
You're supplementing to yourself. If, however, you are flossing and removing something from your body or scraping dead skin off your body or clipping your toenails off of your body, I think the off of your body would be the key point there because there's just no reason for that.
Yeah, and then the big question is, where does it go?
Right. And we don't want to know the answer because we would prefer it stays exactly where it is supposed to.
Dane Neal, Hannah Stanley, 720 WGN, in for the Steve Cochran Show on New Year's Eve. An exciting day to be here. And of course, if you can go to WGNradio.com, you can see all the action-packed excitement. We haven't broken out the funny cardboard hats with the things or those noise-making devices.
No, noise-making devices really translate poorly over the airways.
Not really. I mean, if it's like, yeah, or I think in any situation, actually, they're incredibly annoying. Don't let your kids have them.
Very, very, very annoying. We are going to start breaking out some of the year-in-review stuff. Karen Conti will be joining us after 6:30 news, going over some of the top legal stories of the past year.
Legal stories often have a place when it comes to cars and driving. We've talked a little bit about etiquette earlier in the program. There's a lot of etiquette that goes into driving. One of the main things you shouldn't do when you're driving, of course, you shouldn't pick your nose and all that, but use around your phone or run into other people or change lanes without signaling and all that kind of stuff. IDOT, we're always kind of reporting statistics, and typically they get kind of worse and worse, but it looks as though some of the fatalities have gone down this year.
They've continued to go down each year, and what is outstanding about this is while, of course, zero would be the ultimate goal for zero fatalities, as of right now, and I've kind of liked the fact that they've started putting up those billboards, those electronic billboards, where they can constantly update that total. We are at 907 highway fatalities to date this year in the state of Illinois. It would be fantastic if we could make it to midnight with no additional, and even in start the new year with none. But having it under 1,000 was a goal for quite a few years. The first year that we as a state were able to achieve it was 2009. We've seen 5 straight years now under 1,000, and this 2014 will be the 6th year. 2009, it was 911 people lost their lives. And so we are 4 shy. So let's everybody buckle up, be safe, don't drink and drive. I heard free rides on the CTA tonight. I had actually thought it was penny rides. I don't know if that makes a big difference, but they're saying now free from, I think, midnight to 4 a.m. and you don't even need your venture card. So if that is an option, of course.
That is an important thing to say, Hannah, too, is that there's resources out there so that you don't have to put yourself in that position. This is a tough time when people are not only on the roads, but a lot of people are celebrating. And oftentimes that means drinking. And then for the people that aren't necessarily drinking, but they're sharing the roads with those people, it can be dangerous. The website is Illinois.gov. So IDOT, yes, the word, dot, then, the period, and then Illinois.gov. And what's kind of cool is that they have taken a proactive approach with staying ahead of it, incorporating some social media, engaging with some popular television shows, and even injecting some humor into some of it as well. The one of the things that's really cool is, the Walking Dead, very popular. They've got the Driving Dead. They've paired up with them and Michael Rooker, who's pretty awesome, to create some PSAs and some things to go ahead and have people. They take things that people are interested in and already watching, and then kind of have those messages in there. I do like on the health side. You've seen the health one where it's like the lucky health plan.
Yes. Yes.
No doctors, no appointments. It's based on luck. I mean, I think that's a humorous way to do it and get that message across. So I think engaging with some of the television programs is really cool. But they do have to stay ahead of it, because you think about it, driving has not always been the same. It has changed, and the transportation and the authorities and the regulations and the legislative side, they have to stay ahead of it, because there was a time when people didn't realize that drinking and driving was something to worry about. Then there's deaths on the roadways, and they do it. And now we've got, texting being on your phone.
Texting in the state of Illinois became illegal, I believe, this past January 1st, and absolutely just a silly idea. But when we go back to basics, if you look on the website, based on Illinois fatal crash data for 2013, the restraints not being used or used improperly, 233 of those deaths were directly linked to the fact that they either didn't have their seatbelt on or it was put on wrong, like either under the shoulder or, behind the back, because you don't want to wrinkle your clothes or whatever. And these did not include the ones where they don't know. If the emergency responders got there before the police did, and I know that they're emergency responders, but we're talking about the medical crew got there and they didn't notate whether or not the person was properly wearing their seatbelt, that doesn't count. So that number could be higher. And I know from talking with IDOT in the past about this, after midnight, seatbelt usage plummets off the table. People just think that they're going to be okay, and they don't wear their seatbelt, and that is just gosh darn silly.
It's even the seatbelt. That's another good example of something that we didn't always know that we needed. You know, we've all had older relatives that didn't necessarily wear their seatbelts, and that's just not something that either wasn't cool or wasn't done. And now it's so common sense. I mean, you think of times we go back where everybody used to smoke, you know, and you could smoke everywhere, and you had a smoking section, and then we realized, well, geez, that's not good. Seatbelts are one of those things that now. And what has been so cool about it, and I'm a believer in the philosophy of educate the kids, and then they'll educate the parents or that next generation, whether it's recycling, where they're saying like, hey, you got to throw that in this bin, or your seatbelts. Most of the time, early on, my kids will yell out, hey, you don't have your seatbelt on.
Right, exactly. And that is one of the things that they have given the credit to, because there is such a, I mean, this is now commonplace. This is one of the things that we've grown up doing, is wearing our seatbelts.
Click it or ticket. You know, you have those programs.
Yep, they're doing that again, and Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over. IDOT receives federal funds that is going to provide roadside safety checks, seatbelt enforcement zones, and other patrols reminding, and you'll see the billboards, you've seen the commercials. Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over, Click It or Ticket are both statewide efforts, and they really, really focus between Thanksgiving and, of course, today, New Year's Eve, into New Year's Day to get everybody home safely. It is one of the most dangerous times on the roads. Tips that they have provided: plan ahead, obviously, designate a sober driver before going out, give that person your keys so you don't even have the ability to take your car. If you have been drinking, call a taxi, use mass transit, or call a sober friend or family member to get you home safely, or stay where you are, and use your community's designated driver program. This is a huge movement, especially in the college communities, where, you know, on the back of the IDs, they will have a number where someone will come and get you and safely get you home. We here in Chicago, we've got the taxis and Uber and Lyft and all these different things. Put those numbers in your phone so you have them.
Yep. On a night like tonight, where you know that you're going to be out there, a lot of people will be out and celebrating. And we mentioned oftentimes that means enjoying some libations, being at a party. There is a support system out there to get you where you need to go. And the penalties, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that they try to change behavior. Some is, you know, catchy campaigns with rhyming slogans. Some is, you know, teaching the kids so that they tell you. And some is basically through the punishment side. So that, and it has gone up from, I think in the mid-80s, it was considered a regular ticket like anything, like rolling through a stop sign. And now it is absolutely serious. You do not want a DUI.
No, a DUI, and the way that they have done it also is it's about a $10,000 automatic thing between court costs, and you have to get this thing installed in your car that you have to breathe into. That's a first offense that you have to have this done. Other tips that they have said is to always wear your seatbelt, which we talked about, and make sure all passengers are safely buckled up. And you know what? If maybe not today, but go and have those car seats checked. You can go to your local police station and have your kids' car seats checked for safety, because sometimes they are challenging to install. And the other thing is, I've done this, and I'm interested to see if you guys have, promptly report to law enforcement drunk drivers you see on the roadways. Have you ever called the cops on somebody?
I don't know if they were drunk or not, but I think I have. I think I have, you mm-hmm. know, kind of checked in. If you see someone like real, and we've all been there where the guy's changing like four lanes at a time and then back. And when we have Karen Conti on a little bit later on in the program, we can ask her too about the laws. Hannah, you mentioned that you went to school in Texas, and we always mm-hmm. hear those rumors that it's not the driver can't be holding the beer, but someone in the back seat can have an open beer or drink. And so we'll want to clarify that stuff as well.
Absolutely. Karen Conti is going to be coming up on the other side of the news. In the meantime, Hannah Stanley and Dane Neal filling in for Steve Cochran. More on WGN after this.
WGN. It is Dane Neal along with Hannah Stanley. We are in for the Steve Cochran Show on New Year's Eve. Bright future coming up, 2015.
It's Noon Year's Eve.
You keep saying that because that's when you'll be awake, right? Because you'll be asleep during the...
I will be asleep. I hope I will be asleep because we're here tomorrow, 5 to 10 a.m. again.
I think I'm going to try to make it to after Noon Year's Eve. So it'll be...
Well, I'm going to make it till after because I'm going to go over to the Cochran New Year's
Eve. But you'll be asleep.
Matinee.
Though. They're going to just wheel you in.
I'm going to
fireman carry you in.
I'm going to sleep from like noon to 2:30. I'm going to drive up to Crystal Lake with the whole family. It's family friendly. And then after that's done, I'm going to come home, sleep some more, drive on in. That's how I roll.
You know, some people count sheep when they sleep. Some people count millions of dollars, maybe 48 or 49 million. I think that Michigan fans are probably up celebrating already, because this is the biggest gift that they can have for 2015, is having Jim Harbaugh as their coach. So, I mean, Andy, mm-hmm. how do you see this? You're a guy that covers sports. You cover sports.
Weren't we supposed to have music, a music bed for Speculate with Andy?
No, a theme song. Oh. We have a live choir that's going to come in.
Oh, that's good.
But he's got to voice some of it, because he does this whole, it's kind of a, you know, like a breakdancing thing that he does. It's visual. We've got the new cameras.
WGNradio.com and watch live.
So people were watching Jim Harbaugh on the press conference. He came in. He seems as excited as anybody, mm-hmm. almost giddy about the whole thing. Like, how do you see this turning out? Is this going to end well?
Well, he's giddy because his wallet is really getting fatter. And also the fact that he doesn't have to deal with these high-priced, crazy professional athletes anymore. I mean, that's, you know, and again, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, too, with the fact that some guys are better suited for that type of coaching in a college game than they are in a professional game, because the pros tend to tune you out a little bit if you're in their face all the time, because a lot of times they're making more money than you. Sometimes it can be the same thing in a college, but
they're also angling for their career and their brand.
Yeah. Well, and you know, he's so identified with Michigan. I told you guys yesterday about the billboards that were going up even before, you know, the press conference. There was a local bank up there in Ann Arbor that said number four, restore us to number one, and then it was crazy. And you know, he got this reception at halftime of the Michigan Illinois game, and it actually Wolverines basketball team kind of responded and beat Illinois in overtime yesterday after the speech.
It is the perfect time. We've talked a little bit about the correlations and some of the things that the Cubs did as far as, you know, getting rid of Rick Renteria and going for the guy, just mm-hmm. recognizing that there may be one individual out there, whether it's temperament or whether it's career-wise, that may be perfectly suited for your program. And Michigan, for the last X amount of years, I don't know, the last 10 years or so, they've been kind of floundering, looking for the right person to lead them into that, into kind of that next level of success. Always saying that they want to get, and you know, Bo Schembechler would say, you got to get a Michigan guy.
I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan.
Which is tough, because it's hard to find somebody that happens to have gone to that school that happens to be the perfect candidate. But Jim Harbaugh may be so perfectly suited for it because, of course, you know, had a great career there, but mm-hmm. then also had what I would consider a really, really nice NFL career. Yeah. He's been a successful college coach. There's no way that you can say he wasn't successful at the NFL level. He took the 49ers from a team that, you know, wasn't doing well into two NFC championship games. But I think personality-wise, he is a college coach.
Yeah. Well, now the heat is on, though. I mean, because you come back to a place that you're revered in, and it's all pressure and all eyes are on you now. So to turn the program back around after, you know, you mentioned the last 10 years, you know, Rich Rodriguez came in with a lot of fanfare and was under the fire because he wasn't a Michigan guy, so fans didn't really give him a ton of a break. But what the fans should have realized is that Brady Hoke, who had Michigan ties, came in and won with a lot of Rich Rodriguez players and didn't win with a lot of his own. So it's a new element here, too, for Harbaugh with recruiting. I'm sure that he has a recruiting coordinator, so he's not going to be the guy going on the planes and doing the first couple of, you know, recruiting things. He comes in out of the bullpen. He's the Mariano Rivera.
Right.
He's the closer.
He seals the deal.
Yeah.
But he is perfectly suited for that as well, because you've had coaches that may be good, have a good resume on paper, but, you know, Jim Harbaugh walks into the living room of any student, they're going to instantly know who he is.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he's going to have to deal with the high-priced person as far as whether the college student. Mm-hmm. You have some college athletes that get to be big stars, but he's going to be a bigger celebrity than anybody that goes there.
Yeah, and he is, you know, obviously larger than life in Ann Arbor and played for Bo Schembechler, so that gives him a ton more credibility if he didn't have it already. And, you know, there's going to be 110,000 people pretty much every Saturday that they're home. They're going to be all eyes on him.
And last thing on this, of course, the money takes away some of the pressure, but you just hope it goes well, because we remember Charlie Weiss, you know, great career with the Patriots, goes back to Notre Dame, big fanfare, big failure. Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame probably doesn't see him the same way they did before he was there.
No, you're right.
Not so much. Joining us on the phone as promised is Karen Conti. We want to talk legal stories for 2014 in review. Good morning, Karen. Wait, there you are. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm so good, and Dane is here with me,
Karen,
as well. We're gonna delve into this, and then we're gonna come back after traffic and the break. We had huge stories this year.
We really did, and a lot of the big news stories of the year happen to be legal in nature, and I think they're really worth talking about because it kind of gives you a whole overview of the whole year by talking about these legal stories.
Absolutely. The one that I think we're going to spend a ton of time on, actually a couple of them, have to do with professional sports. Of course, Ray Rice and domestic violence, which got much deeper when other stories were getting reported. That has caused some ripples within professional sports in general that are going to be felt for years.
Right. No, I totally agree. And the issues that they raise are bigger than sports. You know, there are issues of racism, domestic violence, privacy, and all kinds of legal issues. So, they're bigger than the actual event itself.
All right. We are going to take a quick look at our traffic trouble spots. Karen, hold on with us, please.
WGN, Day Neal, Hannah Stanley in for Steve Cochran today on New Year's Eve. And one of the things we have to be thankful for through the years is being able to hear Legal Eagle attorney Karen Conti on the Steve Cochran Show. So many great issues that she talks about. She tackles individual issues like, hey, I'm going through a divorce and my spouse is trying to take all my stuff, to big sweeping national issues that everybody is dealing with. On the sports side, Hannah had mentioned some of the things with, you know, Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson. One of the questions that I had and that people ask me is, you see these penalties by the league, and so people are getting suspended and millions of dollars are at stake. But in the past, they used to kind of let the legal system take its course, and the league would step in when, you know, a judge had said, well, here's the penalty and here's what really happened. But now these leagues are stepping in. Do the players, right or wrong, is whether you do, you know, agree on any of the things. I think we can all agree that, you know, all of the things were really disgusting and reprehensible. But do the players have any recourse to the penalties that are handed down by the league legally?
Well, I mean, you know, it's everything that's spelled out by their contracts. So, again, you know, I think what we're going to be seeing in the future are contracts that spell out things very clearly. If you have moral issues, if you have legal trouble, if you have accusations, if you have convictions, that these things can be used against you. As it stands right now, in the past, those parts of the contract were not really clear. So, you know, they could be interpreted one way or the other. But certainly, you know, as far as in the case of Ray Rice, he did appeal his suspension and he won. So, I mean, there are avenues within the league to do that. But again, you know, this is the real issue is things go on legally on the outside. He gets accused, he gets charged, he makes good, he does his probation. Can the league still punish him for his conduct? And the answer is yes. And that's all about protecting the league, protecting the image, protecting its reputation. And the same goes with the Don Sterling fiasco.
Right.
Same exact thing happened with him. You know, the league has a real obligation to itself and to its teams to preserve their reputation. And when you've got an owner saying the things he did, again, people say things all the time. We didn't know. He didn't know he was being recorded, apparently. But, you know, it still reflects poorly on the league. And what happened to him was a very severe penalty.
Now, because he didn't know he was being recorded, is there any sort of recourse that he has for eavesdropping, et cetera?
You know, he probably does, because in California, the law is similar to our law here, which is unless you have consent to a conversation on the telephone to be recorded, it's illegal to do that. But sort of the toothpaste is out of the tube on this one, because all the bad things happen to him, and does he have recourse to go to the police and say, my girlfriend recorded me without my consent? He could, but do you think the police are going to do anything? I would guess no.
It depends. Now, tell me, please, I heard that Governor Quinn just signed in this addendum or amendment or change to our eavesdropping law. What does that mean for us?
You know, I don't know about that. I don't know what the new law is. We have a really strong law on eavesdropping. And I have to read it. I don't know it as I sit here.
One of the situations that they said it would apply to is kind of the recording of confrontations or interactions with police officers, and that you have to be have to have all the people know that they are being recorded.
That's how it's been. And I think now, as long as it happens in public.
Oh, if it's in public, absolutely.
Then
yeah.
you have the ability, because what they've been able to do is go after people who were recording police or anyone doing wrong. Then those people who recorded it were in trouble. And now with the fact that we all have cell phone cameras and stuff, it makes it crazy.
Well, Karen, I've got
that makes Illinois law consistent with what the Supreme Court has said, which is you have a right to videotape a police officer. You're in public. I mean, the police officers don't enjoy any rights additional to what we have. I mean, we're allowed to do that. That went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and people were prosecuted for taking a picture of what the police were doing, and the Supreme Court said, no, that, you know, you're certainly entitled to do that.
Well, Karen, what defines in public? Let's say you're on a road, you're by yourself, you're in the middle of nowhere, you're pulled over by a police officer, you're having what really is a private conversation, you know, just maybe a foot or so away from each other, so it isn't necessarily within a group. Is that still public, or do you have to be inside a building or inside your own, you know, home in order for it to be private? What are the rules there?
I'm not sure what the rules are. I mean, we have to read the statute very carefully, and sometimes the statute leaves that open to interpretation. But I would say that the law as it stands now is that if you have an expectation of privacy, meaning you're in your own home, you're in your own place, you're in a place where you believe that you have the right to be without cameras or whatever, that would be the private. So anytime you're outside, anytime you're in a place where you don't really have an expectation of privacy, I would say that you're free. Now people are free to tape you if they want, if that's what the law is going to say.
All right. Locally, we've had some huge legal stories come up as well.
We have. We want to start with the shootings. Probably were one of the big ones. I don't know if we all remember back when it was warm. I think it was a July weekend. We had almost like 80 something shootings and a bunch of actual deaths resulting. It made national news, you know, because it was just so high. And I think that's a real important news story, because we have to look at what's going on. I mean, is it the laws that are wrong? Do we need better laws? Do we need to enforce the laws we have? What do we need to do to stop this horrendous amount of gunfire? So I think that's a really important story, and I think we're going to see fallout from that next year. And I think, you know, obviously the police are trying to get up to speed and do their thing, and the law, you know, the laws may change as a result of that. I don't know how, but watch for it.
You know, and that's a double-sided issue too, because while we had those horrible amount of shootings in one weekend, and it's not like they've diminished much over the rest of the year, we still are going to come in at one of the lowest rates for homicides in the city of Chicago.
Right. And that is interesting. We do have to look at those stats, and we have to figure that we're an urban center. We have a lot of people. And all in all, you're right. Our homicide rate is down. But it's still horrendous. And even when you see the weekend count, this many shootings during the weekend, it's still our lives being taken, and it's disturbing.
It's strange at what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. I think the stuff that makes the front page is when kids, you know, stray bullets, you know, they're being killed. People, you talk about privacy of your own home. You know, there's been stories of kids being hit through walls, through windows, and you think, okay, what can lawmakers do? I think what you need to do is find a way to enforce the laws. It seems as though a lot of those things are already illegal. If the gun is being used illegally, and certainly shooting someone, that's not legal. It's just, you know, no one's enforcing the laws, or the people aren't adhering to the laws on the citizen side.
I have to say, I have taken that position, and I actually was on Bill O'Reilly after that weekend, and in a strange way, I agreed with him that we don't need new laws. We have some of the strongest laws. I mean, we were like the last state to get concealed carry. You know, we have very strong laws, and I think you're absolutely right that what we're not doing is enforcing them. If you have a kid who's out, you know, shooting at police officers with a stolen gun, he needs to go to jail for a long time. You know, sorry for him, but he needs to go, because if he did it once, he's going to do it again. And stolen guns, having possession of guns when you're not entitled to it, those things should be enforced, because if you put the people in jail who have the guns and are using them, you're going to have less shootings. So I totally agree with you on that. We don't need new laws.
All right, Karen, we're going to ask you if you'd stay with us through the break and our news, because we want to talk to you about ways to talk about getting your legal affairs in order, because it's the end of the year. We want to talk looking forward to 2015. Hannah Stanley, and I'm sorry, say that we can talk until news. Oh, never mind. Yeah. We get to talk to you for a couple of more minutes. This is fantastic. All right, so gay rights was a huge story nationally, especially for same-sex marriage, and that became legal in the state of Illinois, I think, June 1st. They made an exception for a couple, one of whom was gravely ill and has since passed away. But what ramifications has that had for the state?
Well, you know, I think in my view, it's good. I think, you know, I think that's where we're heading. I think all the states are heading that way. The Supreme Court actually refused to hear a case, is the result of which was that gay rights continued in the two states where they refused to hear the case. But the Supreme Court has not weighed in and affirmatively stated that gay rights are rights that people have. I think what they're going to do is leave it to the states to decide. But I think Illinois allowing gay rights, gay marriage, is a fabulous thing. I think that's the way everything's going to go. And I think we're going to look back 50 years from now, if we're still alive, and we're going to say, what were you thinking about? Let everyone get married. What's the problem? I think that it's the way of the world, and some people still aren't going to like it, but it's the right thing to do. It's really just gender equality. I mean, if I want to marry a man, I should be able to marry a man, right? If I should want to marry a woman, I should be able to marry a woman. It's a gender issue, not necessarily sexual preference to me, but I think it's a good thing.
Well, I think most people can kind of agree that people should be able to be with people that they feel connected to, that they love. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. On the legal side, what are those, you know, once you get beyond that and the relationship side of it, like, what are some of the legal issues? Is it just insurance? Is it, let's say something happens with one of them, is it the inheritance of the property? I mean, are those the things that people have to deal with?
Yeah, it's all of those, and it's, you know, even more Social Security benefits, Family Medical Leave Act. If I'm working at a place and I get FMLA, does my partner get that? If I'm married, does my partner get that? If we're just in a civil union, the federal rights really don't apply unless you're married. So that's the key. So there's all kinds of inheritance, taxes, and all kinds of things that we just take for granted when we're married, but are certainly benefits of being married. And, you know, being married is a benefit to the society in a way, because it says that you're stable. It says that you're in a committed relationship. Now, we all know that doesn't always work out. The stats on that are pretty poor. But it's good to make people stable. It's good to have homes that are with people who have committed to each other and have legal obligations to each other. I think that's a good thing.
All right, Karen, now we are going to ask you to hold on through the news for us, please.
Sure.
Karen Conti will be back with us on the other side of the news.